Some replacement level dudes talking about their home team. Starting a Braves podcast was their daggum dream. They like Nick Markakis, even the long ball. One day they'll have more clout than Ken Rosenthal. Oh, you're listening to that Knockoff Nation podcast show. Oh. Podcast show.
Hey, it's another episode of the Knockoff Nation podcast show. I'm your host, Ken Hendricks. That's JT Holton, and that is Joshua Brown. Fellas, how's it going?
Pretty good. Good to be here.
Are you ready?
Good to be back.
Are you ready for another episode of the Knockoff Nation podcast show? That's the real question, Josh Brown.
I think
so. Ready?
I think I'm ready to talk some baseball theology.
Sorry, that was like, I'm kind of in the football.
Are you drinking coffee right now?
Mountain Dew.
Oh, God.
Mountain Dew! Hey, JT, did you get some football in your system this weekend? Josh, did you suck it up with the Bears?
Dude, I footballed hard all weekend long. I made some fried chicken gizzards Sunday.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, man.
I'm not a chicken gizzards fan. I've never been a fan.
Oh, love them.
Mm. Oh, they're good. They are good. It's one of those weird things that you don't realize growing up down here that other people don't eat. You know, like livers, gizzards. True. Buy them from the gas station.
I like chicken livers.
You know, like you'll get them from the...
I like chicken livers, yeah.
Get them from like the Friendly Gus, and it's some of the best things you could get.
I discovered chicken livers later in life.
Yeah.
I was driving back. I guess I was like 30. I was driving back from Wyoming back to Birmingham. Okay, I did a solo trip out there in my little Saab 9.3, my little hipster mobile, and I'm driving back from Wyoming after being out there for several days hiking, camping, and I get outside of St. Louis, mm-hmm. somewhere, and I pull over into a truck stop. It was like 11 midnight or something like that at night, and I go in. I was gonna get like a snack, and I'm getting like I think some combos or something maybe, and I'm checking out, and then. The black guy behind the counter goes, where are you coming from, man? And I said, Wyoming. And he goes, oh, man, they ain't no brothers out there. And I said, dude, I haven't seen a black person in like 7 days, dude. It's good to see one. He's like, dude, you need some chicken gizzards. I was like, what's that? He's like, let me show you what's up. And he
wait,
like,
livers or gizzards?
I'm sorry,
livers
gizzards. And he gave me and I'm like, okay, I'll get it was like a couple bucks and like a sack full of chicken gizzards. And they changed my life. Yeah.
Oh, nice. Mm-hmm. So you football with chicken gizzards. That's interesting.
Yes, I do.
See, chicken livers is the perfect thing.
Because I don't like the texture. Mm-mm.
Chicken livers you can eat on Sunday. Mm. You can fish with on Saturday. And
you
then
can.
You eat fish on Monday.
So, how do you fish with chicken livers? I got a life hack.
Catfish will
really?
Eat anything you throw in the water. You can fish with soap.
Well, how do you hook it? How do you hook the chicken liver on the hook?
You triple hook it and slide it on.
Nope.
That's the way we've always did it.
I mean, you can. That's not a bad way. I've done that before too for years. So, but I found a better way.
Do you tie it somehow? How do you do it?
Pantyhose.
Oh, yep, we've done that too. I didn't think about that, but yep, I've done that too.
Okay.
You know the best catfish bait that there is, though? 100%.
What?
Hot dogs.
I've heard people catch catfish on hot dogs before, but I've never done
it. Okay. I've caught some big catfish on hot dog. Yep. Hmm. It works good.
You can pretty much just take anything you got meat-wise, put it on a hook, and you'll be okay. What is it?
Hot dog catfish.
Is it Dove soap or Ivory soap that they eat? You could slice up the soap and they go crazy. I don't know why.
Oh, really? Yeah. I didn't know that.
I think it's just the different flavor/scent in the water. They'll just attack anything pretty much.
Interesting.
The hot dog thing, you got to get the thick skin hot dogs, though, the ones that are kind of like red looking, because that'll hold on your hook a lot better. Yeah. Life hacks with Knock Home Nation. Speaking of life hacks, fellas, we haven't done this segment in a long time, but I think it's time. Politics, religion, and her. The old Sammy Kershaw song. But I have a topic this week, fellas. This week I want to talk about the her. I want to talk about how to tell your wife she's beautiful without sticking your foot in your mouth. Because some of us, I mean, I won't name any names, me, suck at not over-explaining your compliments.
Now, suck at, let me not give you at not over-explaining your compliments?
Yeah. Yeah, so let me give you some examples. And I'm sure you guys can add
in. Well, you shouldn't have to over-explain your compliment if it's a good compliment.
Yes, but I don't know when to shut up, Josh. Are you not aware of that?
I can attest to that. That's true.
That's true, right? So let me give you an example, right? Like,
okay. Talk to me.
I want to tell you what some of us men say versus what she hears, right?
Okay.
So, like, baby, you're beautiful. I love the fact you're not fake like a supermodel.
She hears, I'm not a supermodel.
She hears, you look like my Chevy, a lot of dirt and grime, but you'll do. Right.
Okay.
Right? I'll give you another example. I like that you're not anorexic looking.
Yeah, she hears I'm fat.
She hears I'm fat. Yeah.
You're fat. Right. Exactly. Yeah.
I've got some advice, but go ahead.
What about, I like a girl with meat on her bones, and she hears you're fat, but I can't do any better, and I'd like to have sex.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She's half right.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just saying, if you're awake, you probably wouldn't mind having the sex.
What about this one? Wow, you're wearing makeup.
Okay.
Which she translates as, holy crap, you usually look so homely.
That's one that, okay, we had a fight over this because she said, do you want me to put on makeup? And I said, yes, I like for you to put on makeup because you look prettier with makeup.
Oh, no.
She took that as I'm ugly. No. And I'm like, well, that's why you bought the makeup, is because it makes you prettier. That's the point of makeup. That's why it exists and why it's a $1 billion industry. And she couldn't see past
JT
that reasoning.
JT also doesn't know when to shut up, Josh.
No,
JT doesn't know when to not explain his compliments.
Both,
Josh.
She said,
"Do you want me to put on makeup or not?" Well, what husband wouldn't prefer his wife wearing makeup? Girls look prettier with makeup on than without makeup. Everybody knows this. Apparently, you can't say
Some men don't agree with that. No. I'm just saying.
Well, she already bought all the damn makeup. Might as well use it. You already spent the money.
My understanding of makeup is they mainly wear it to make themselves feel better. So that's kind of true. That's what I have always kind of heard, and that's the vibe I get, which is fine. So if it makes you feel pretty, then that's great. Now, when it comes to complimenting my lady, guys, I'm not good at a lot. Y'all have been around me, but I have a couple of things down. I think this is one of them. All right?
I will say this. Your wife... I have to even be careful how I compliment your wife. But your wife likes blatant honesty more than some women.
Yeah. So my wife is a little different than other women in that she is, you know, Nikki grew up, you know, Nikki's dad is a high school football coach. She grew up with brothers. So I think she's a little more, And also, like, all of her friends growing up are black girls. And I think that's...
She translates male very well.
Yeah.
Your wife does.
If you've ever been around, like, honestly, because when they're all together, they're just, like, this one brash, blunt, like, one black girl. And they just... Mm-hmm. They don't take no shit. And they just... There's no fluff. And they're... You know what I mean? So that's part of Nikki. But one thing I do is, like, I'll just... I don't ever, like... compare. I don't make comparisons. So I'll just say, like, I'll just tell her she's smoking hot, you know? Mm-hmm. That's all. Mm-hmm. Like, you're smoking
like
hot.
Like I said, you just have to then shut up and, like, not...
Exactly. You don't,
right.
don't say
That's
too
the hard
much.
Part. Right. Yeah. Don't oversell your compliment because then it feels like you're trying to justify the statement you
exactly.
just made.
Exactly.
And I'm better at this than I used to be. Here's a few others that can get you in trouble. And you guys might have something to add to this. Did you shave your legs? Which she translates as, your legs are usually like a mountain jungle that houses gorillas.
Hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know.
Which in a marriage, there comes a point when she finds that kind of funny, but you have to judge the mood correctly, right? Like, you can't just, like, throw out the, did you shave your legs? And, you know, it's like, oh my God, did you actually do personal hygiene? That seems
right.
wild.
Right.
you know. Another one. I like how that shirt shows off your curves, which she translates as, that shirt's too small for you and you should probably wear it, a cover up, or throw it away.
I think the theme that I'm noticing is less is more. So
yeah,
just go with, you're smoking hot. You know, you're a stone cold fox.
Thicker than a bowl of oatmeal.
Damn, girl, you got it going on. You know, that kind of stuff, you know?
I have a boner.
Is that? I mean, JT, how's that different than 90% of the day?
It's true.
I'm just saying.
Oh, Lord.
I'm just saying. I mean, it's a weird thing. You have to, like, walk carefully because even the most confident girls, like, even the most confident women that I've known, my wife, I feel like she's a very confident woman, mm-hmm. but you still have to walk softly around certain areas. Because that confidence is much thinner in some areas than it is in others, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can't pull up the Tukey Toussaint defense about your wife. Like, that doesn't work. You can't go to giving the defense of she's going to get there someday. Like that doesn't work.
No.
You know?
No.
You know, like, no, you can't be like, oh, man, baby, when you're on, you have the best curves in town. Like, right. She's not interested about when mm-hmm. she's on. You know what I'm saying? Like, it doesn't work. So, fellas, just saying. Little advice.
And they also like to be flirted with, you know? So, flirt with them every now and then, you know?
My wife doesn't like that. It's
really?
Weird.
What?
Nah.
Well, okay.
She just rolls her eyes when I flirt. Yeah.
Oh.
I don't know, man. My wife's got this thing, like, she likes get dolled up on a Friday night. She, you know, she's from Bon Air, Georgia. She grew up with show cattle. She was like Ken. She was in the FFA, 4-H club and all that stuff. Yeah. She had show pigs and show cows and all this stuff. Like, so she's from, like...
You married Ken Hendricks.
Well, I mean, she's a little better looking than Ken.
Not quite.
But... Yeah.
Hey, JT. I'm right here, man. I'm sitting right here.
What? I'm just saying, not that you're not a handsome man, just like when I'm being intimate, I don't want to picture you. And now I'm going to next time, and it's going to ruin everything because I just said that. So.
Just imagine the full beard, so, JT. Like the wow. beard hanging.
It's going to be terrible, man.
Oh, man. JT's highlight reel is now Ken Hendricks.
So, what happened? I thought of Ken. She's gonna go like, why?
So
she got so many questions.
I mean, that might make it better, JT. I'm just saying.
You never know.
So where are you going with this? Were you saying that Mallory's not into flirting?
No, she's kind of the old school. Like, she don't mind getting dolled up on a Friday night and all that. You know, I mean, she likes to be doted on. Okay. You know, she's a little old fashioned in that way. You know, the modern there are modern feminists sometimes that will yell at you if you hold the door open for them. You know, if you hold the door for a stranger at the Cracker Barrel or wherever you might be at, most ladies, you know, we expect to say, oh, thank you so much. You're just being a gentleman. But then there are the ones that will say, what, you don't think I can hold the door for myself? You know, well, you know.
Yeah.
And it's like, look,
don't date those girls.
Right. She's old school. She appreciates manners. She appreciates being doted on to those kind of things. So.
That's the girl that you feel like you have to ask permission to use her first name on a date, or you might end up getting called a rapist or something. So, like, I'd recommend
just
not dating.
Don't even go near those girls, kids. So, Ken, Cynthia, she's not a flirt. She doesn't like being flirted with.
I'm a total flirt, but she's not. She doesn't really like it.
So, like, even if you're being silly, is she like weirded out if you're kind of being silly about it?
Like, on a rare occasion, she likes it, but like for the most part. I don't think it does anything for her. At least she doesn't communicate that it does. Like, I just get an eye roll usually, and not like a playful eye roll. It's just like eye roll. Either I'm a bad flirt, like, which is very possible, or she's not really into it. I'm not sure which.
We should definitely explore this further. Yeah. Nikki, I flirt with Nikki all the time, and I'll grab her ass in the kitchen and stuff. And yeah.
Yeah, I get the eye roll if I do that kind of thing. So I'm just saying.
I mean, I do too, but like a playful eye roll.
Like, yeah, I don't really get the playful one. I just get the
I get the
away.
Playful you're an idiot thing, you know? It's a combination of like you're cute but also a complete moron, you know?
Yeah, I can see it. I can see it. Did you get consent before you did that, Josh?
Is Nakahoma Nation secretly your favorite podcast? Well, put your money where your mouth is and support your favorite replacement level podcast on Patreon. For as little as $5 a month, you can support your favorite dinguses as they continue to bring you worthless information each and every week, providing you the escape you need. Visit patreon.com/Nakahoma Nation. That's patreon.com/Nakahoma Nation.
Anyway, no. Going on, did you fellas, we already talked that you watched the football. JT, you want to give us a little rundown on some college football?
Oh.
Was there actually any college football play?
Okay, some people will say there wasn't, and I get that. Like, it's not what we're used to, but I'll take it. It was actually kind of more digestible because there's less going on at once, so you can kind of keep track of everything that's going on. So, like, there'll be 5 games going on at once instead of, like, 19 games going on at once. So it's a little more like, and you can see games that otherwise you probably wouldn't be able or really want to see, you know?
I'll be honest, I missed out on the college football this weekend. I was working. We had some breakdowns on the tracker, so I spent all Saturday working on that. So I missed the college football. I got a full dose of NFL on Sunday, but I missed out on the college. So you're going to have to catch me up a little bit.
Well, usually Georgia Tech, Florida State would not be tied with Wake Forest, Clemson would not be like your banner games.
Yeah, for sure.
But I watched all of Georgia Tech, FSU, and let me tell you, man, Georgia Tech, they're getting an infusion of talent. I don't think they're there yet. They're going to have bumps in the road. I mean, this is a team that lost to the Citadel last year, so I don't think usually you get a little jump in year two of a coaching staff. Jeff Collins, the head coach, has been mocked in some places for being way too salesman-y. You know, he's all about 404 and Waffle House and ATL. But I think that's kind of what you have to do if you're going to win at Georgia Tech. You have to embrace
the Atlantan-ness. Especially coming off Paul, you know, because Paul was like the exact opposite of that, 100% the opposite.
Yeah, Paul was slicing hot dogs to go hunt for catfish. He didn't have time for those kind of the marketing that you have to do to sell your program to kids. Mm. And they went to Tallahassee and won.
Yeah,
which is impressive.
Wasn't there some rumors that Paul wouldn't even invite back like old players and stuff, or they wouldn't come back? And
very
Collins.
He had to repair some bridges. I don't think it's that he kicked anybody out, but his attitude soured a lot of people. He wasn't outgoing and engaging. He wasn't the type that old players want to be catered to. They want to be known. They want to be known. They want to know they're remembered. That you have an open door whenever you want to come back here. You know that we're a family.
It's
and all
like
those
if
kind
I don't things. If I don't kiss Josh's butt like you know a couple times a week, then he won't show up for the podcast next week.
This is
true. It's kind of the way.
Hey
it
man.
Works.
Hey! Don't read my mail on here, you asshole.
I'm just saying. There's nothing wrong with that. You're just the talent. The talent needs a little schmoozing sometimes.
But with that being said, who exactly was Paul Johnson supposed to bring back? Joe Hamilton? And who else?
Yeah.
You know.
Reggie Ball. Right. Reggie Ball.
Outside of Calvin Johnson, there isn't anybody that today's high schoolers would care about. Let's be honest. Sorry, Michael Lane. I know that offends you. Look, going to Tallahassee and winning is a big deal. However, this Florida State team is not the Florida State we grew up with. Their offensive line cannot block sunlight right now.
They lost their running back.
Yeah. Akers was playing last night against the Cowboys. They have talent. They have NFL talent in positions. Asante Samuel Jr., his dad played for the Falcons not too long ago, is a stud. They've got some All-Americans there, but their lines of scrimmage are weak. It's just they're a bad team that's going to take some time to rebuild that program.
I'm not sure FSU ever gets back to what they once were. I think they're not the draw that they once were.
Definitely not the draw, but I think they play in such a talent-rich area that they can't help but acquire some talent. They're not the draw that they were, but they're still a brand. And being in that right above Central Florida, right below South Georgia, man, you got a lot of skill, a lot of talent.
That's a sweet spot.
Yeah, it is, man. And you know, they almost shut down football before they decided, let's wait and take a chance on this guy from West Virginia named Bobby Bell. So, when you look at the history of Florida State, this was a women's college up until the 50s. You know, it was not a perennial power.
More recruiting prowess.
Yeah. But
more recruiting.
This was not the long-term, long-time history. This is not Alabama. This is not Notre Dame. Growing up, you wouldn't have known that because for as long as we can remember, Florida State's been good. You know, they've been a national power.
Yeah.
But they got some work to do down there. And Norvell will get time. I think Mike Norvell's a good coach. He had really good teams at Memphis. But, you know, he's got some problems. They got to figure it out. And this is a terrible year to figure stuff out because you can't practice as much. Yep. You're just it's a weird time. It's really weird. So
yeah.
That was fun. Wake Forest, Clemson. All I can tell you is Clemson's good. Wake Forest.
You just get to watch Clemson.
Not so much.
Yeah, exactly.
The first 5 minutes. I was talking with Jeremy Timmerman about this church Sunday. For the first 5 minutes, you're like, hey, maybe Wake Forest can give them hell. And then you blink and it's like 17-0 Clemson. Well, never mind. It's
yeah,
over.
Yeah. Right.
Clemson's kind of a freight train that's just mowing through the rest of the ACC right now. It's just the way it is.
It's like Clemson isn't even in the ACC anymore. Like they're just playing preseason games, warming up for their SEC opponent in the playoffs.
Yeah, it's just a scrimmage for them.
I was surprised they got past Wake Forest, to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah, you were shocked. The Demon Deacons. Oh man, that's so weird for a divinity school to be the Demon Deacons. That feels
they are a divinity. They are a divinity school. I didn't know what their background was.
They were. I think they have a lot of Bible college stuff there, but I don't think they're.
I don't think they're affiliated with anything. I could be wrong. If they are, it's probably like a loose.
I don't know much about.
They do have a school of divinity at Wake Forest, but like
I don't know about Wake Forest. Is Chris Paul and Tim Duncan. Played there, and Arnie Palmer played golf at Wake Forest. A lot of golfers have played at Wake Forest. That's all I know.
Interesting.
That's all I know.
Other than that, there really wasn't a whole lot of football, a whole lot of college football that mattered, was there, JT? I mean, obviously, Conference USA beat the tar out of the Big 12, which is hilarious.
The Sun Belt. It was the Sun Belt. Don't come on. Conference USA.
Oh, the Fun Belt. Not baby. Conference USA.
All right, so
App State, baby.
App State hanging on to beat the comeback to beat the Charlotte 49ers. I was watching that one. And,
that was a big win.
The Georgia Southern Golden Eagles there hanging to beat the Campbell Camels, which is like the worst
name. So here in Boone, since we've become all woke since coronavirus, so, you know, our state – it's just funny because, like, the weekend before last, I'm in Georgia at a high school football game in Noonan, you know, hanging out. People are not wearing masks. They're smiling. Everybody's happy. It's primarily black. Like, I forgot we were all racist for a second. It was real weird. And then I get back to Boone, and, like, everybody's white, masked up, and nobody can go to football games. High school sports are all canceled. And, you know, App's playing right downtown. Mm-hmm. And the town of Boone and App State put out this thing that said we could not tailgate. Because we were thinking about, like, you know, because our radio station is right down, just right around the corner from the stadium. And so we were talking about like setting up some tents and we could not tailgate.
Oh.
Isn't that crazy? It's crazy.
It's funny how I
feel like Joe Diffie would disagree. I'm just saying. I just feel like Joe Diffie would say that it's not possible for you to not let me tailgate.
Unfortunately, Joe Diffie died he died of coronavirus. So.
Yeah, that was a bad example.
That is true. I didn't realize that. I forgot about that. I still think Joe Diffie would disagree. I'm just saying.
But he was a diabetic and a smoker, so did he really die? Let's move on.
But yeah, I've noticed that a lot of Democrat governors, there were no football fans in the stands.
It's all blue states.
If you're red state, there were people in attendance.
What's really funny is that Ohio State and the University of the University of Iowa is not allowed to play football games, but Iowa State had a football game. I appreciate that.
Fantastic. Yeah, right. So
that would be like Georgia Tech playing games in Georgia.
Yeah,
Kansas
State
played, right? Kansas State played, University of Kansas.
No, Kansas State definitely didn't play.
Yeah,
I'm just saying.
Yeah, watch them.
No, they totally didn't play. They totally. I don't think Josh is getting the joke here, JT. They definitely didn't.
They didn't show up.
Kansas State at least was close. So Iowa State.
Didn't they get beat by Louisiana Tech or something?
It was okay. Yes. So number 23 Iowa State, okay, at home, loses to Louisiana, formerly Louisiana Lafayette, the Raging Cajuns. Brock Purdy, Iowa State's quarterback, he's an NFL prospect. Maybe not anymore because he did not look like a guy. I mean, he heard his draft stock for sure. And then Arkansas State, who Georgia beat like a drum last year, then goes up to Manhattan, the Little Apple of Manhattan, Kansas, and beats in a competitive game. Goes to Kansas State and wins. And then you go to Lawrence, Kansas, with the Mad Hatter, Les Miles, year two of the program, and Coastal Carolina. 28-0 at the half. That's when I went to bed. I quit watching after that point. 28-0. And then they hung on to win.
How is this team that bad? How are they that bad? Like, I know you guys don't believe in Les Miles, and I know I said some crazy things about Les Miles possibly one day having a top 10 team.
Last year, with
I said he would have a top team in the top 10 team in the next 5 years. Is what I said.
Well, you still got almost four full years to go on that.
Almost 3 weeks before they fire him. Let's be honest. Just being honest here,
there is such a lack of talent in Kansas. And I think that shows like how good of a job like Bill Snyder did building Kansas State, because both Lawrence and Manhattan are totally in the middle of nowhere. My cousin is a graduate of Kansas State, and you got to go towards town to hunt. It's out there.
I mean, y'all ever watch Smallville?
Yeah, once or twice.
Yeah, me neither. Okay, we can move on.
Josh pretending like Josh didn't watch the Superman show. Wait, Josh watched the nerdy show.
We can move on. We can move on.
Oh, that's hilarious.
What it tells me is that a Sunbelt school right outside of Myrtle Beach has a better shot of getting talent there than in the middle of Kansas. There's just not.
That's kind of wild.
There's just not population, and unless you're stealing like. The leftovers of the leftovers from Texas, you're just not going to find it in Kansas. It's just a matter of numbers. Anybody good from Kansas City, they're going elsewhere. They're going to, Missouri, maybe. Maybe they go up north, go to some Big Ten schools. But Kansas is such a... Now, for basketball, and this is the crazy thing.
And it's very Caucasian.
It works for basketball because they have the history. I mean, Dr. James Naismith invented basketball. He was a professor at the University of Kansas. They've got... If anyone has basketball history on their side, it's University of Kansas.
I thought John Stockton invented basketball.
Roy Williams.
But they have no football, to draw on. And a lot of those guys out there in the Midwest and in a lot of these states, they'll play like 8-on-8 football. Like they don't have the rosters to fill out a full team. So it's a totally different type of sport.
Yeah, but Nebraska was a football freaking powerhouse.
Yes.
It makes no sense that Nebraska can be a powerhouse.
Nebraska
and I know they're not.
Back then.
I know they're not as much anymore, but still.
But back then, other teams did not have television. They weren't exposed like they are, and they're not getting the television contract money back then. So Nebraska could stand out on their own, but now even teams like Vanderbilt are making even more money than Nebraska makes because of the TV contracts. So the
so
playing field,
pay
well, the playing field is even out a lot more, and that's not saying, but it's going to be harder for a team like Nebraska to do what they did again, like they could do back in the 70s and 80s, that they really can't do that now.
I can see it. Oh, man. Let's change gears for a second, fellas. Is this the best Braves offense, the greatest Braves offense that you two guys have ever seen?
Dude, I don't know, man. Because the 90s, the 92, 93, not even though the Braves won at 95, that wasn't the Braves. That wasn't the best 90s offensive team, in my opinion.
Yeah. So which one was the best?
Oh, God.
I'd say 98. That was the year, I think
they set
a record for most home runs in consecutive games. Galarraga was there.
Galarraga.
98.
So you had, but here's that team though.
Okay.
Javi Lopez.
All right.
Andres Galarraga. Mm-hmm. Right. Bashers. Mm-hmm. They're hitting. I mean, that year, Javi hit 34. Andre hit 44. Right. But second base, Keith Lockhart.
Really?
Nine home runs. Shortstop, Walt Weiss.
Hey now.
Hey, rookie of the year, baby. Show some
zero
respect.
Home runs.
Show some respect.
Chipper Jones at third base. Ryan Klesko, great hitter, 18 home runs. Andrew Jones, 31 home runs. Michael Tucker in right field.
Hey,
13
first
home
run in Turner Field right there, man.
Backups are Tony Graffinino, Ozzie Guillen, Gerald Williams, Eddie Perez, Danny Bautista, Curtis Pryde, Greg Colburn, Marty Malloy, Rafael Belliard, Roy Hulbert, Randall Simon, Wes Helms, wait, Damon Holland,
Rafael,
George Lombard, all right. And Mark
Rafael Belliard was on the 98 Braves? I don't remember that.
He was, yeah.
And George Lombard sure was a five-star running back commit to the all University of Georgia.
Rafael only played in 7 games, just FYI.
Go to 92. Go to pull up 92 Braves.
Okay.
Give me that starting squad.
1992. Atlanta Braves. Would include Greg Olson. That was three home runs.
Yeah, who wasn't really that great, but we love him.
Sid Bream, 10 home runs. Mark Lemke. 6 home runs. Rafael Belliard.
Zero.
You don't have to list home runs. We kind of already know.
Terry Pendleton, 21.
Okay.
Ron Gant, only 17. Otis Nixon, 2. David Justice, 21.
Okay. All right. Go to the 2000 Braves.
2000 Braves. All right. Okay. I'm up for this. I want to know if.
Yeah.
I know
just, let's just explore this a little further before we deem this 2020 team.
All right. Javi Lopez,
right.
Andres Scalarada,
uh-huh.
Quilvio Varis,
mm-hmm.
Rafael Furcal, mm-hmm. only 4 home runs. That was pre-Furcal actually learning how to hit. He did bat .295 that
Furcal
year.
Furcal, low-key, one of the best Braves of all time. I would say, like, I would put him, Rafael Furcal, now Dansby's still kind of new, okay? To me, he is. To me, Dansby's new. Angelton was only here for a minute, it seemed. Hmm. Dare I say Furcal, the greatest Atlanta Braves shortstop of all time?
God, don't. No.
If you're doing it all-time, all-time Atlanta Braves, if you had to draft an all-time team, who's your shortstop?
Angelton Simmons.
But he,
it's Furcal.
As a Brave. As
Angelton
a Furcal,
Simmons.
As a Brave, though.
Give me Furcal.
You can't factor
Angelton
in.
Angelton Simmons. Angelton Simmons.
Okay,
he's
you're
the best shortstop.
Okay, you're,
he's
so
the best
you're
shortstop
out
to ever
every,
play the game.
You're gonna ground out. You're gonna ground out, and I'm gonna be hitting,
okay.
Hitting all
he's
the
still
doubles.
The best shortstop
and,
to ever play the game. I'll
I don't
take
care
it.
About the defense right
ever,
now. I care about
the best
I care about the whole
ever
picture.
Play the game.
Furcal had a cannon. Furcal had a cannon. JT saw him in Macon once. He's got a
vapor trail.
Tells
on that
story
thing.
Every time.
Yeah,
vapor trail, and Furcal can hit better than Angelton ever can and ever will. Furcal.
Okay, if you're going offense, I'm okay with you going Furcal.
And he'll stab you. If you mess with him, he'll stab you.
Angelton Simmons, still the best defensive shortstop of all time.
He will go to Atlanta County Jail. He'll go to Fulton County Jail. He does not care to go to jail. He'll go to jail for a night. If that means to win the game.
Well, here's the thing, too.
Okay, so basically, though, right now, though, I'm just saying Dansby's better than him.
Listen to this. I'm not saying that Angelton is not a great defensive.
This year.
Angelton also plays in an era where we happen to know more about defensive metrics than we ever did before. And I'm not saying he's not a good defensive. He obviously is. I mean, you can't say that. But, I mean, you got to look at the guys who did it a long time. Omar Vizquel's, I mean, Ozzie Smith. It's hard to say best defensive shortstop of all time. I mean,
best defensive shortstop of all time. It's not even close, JT. Those guys didn't have anywhere near the range that Angelton Simmons did. Like, they didn't have the arm. Ozzie Smith didn't come close to having the arm that Angelton's got.
Hot take, Furcal and Angelton have very similar arms. I don't know if I'd say Angelton
but
has
Furcal
a better
didn't
arm.
Have the Furcal didn't have the defensive ability that Angelton
yeah,
did.
Angelton's
he did
the
have
best,
the arm.
Angelton's the yeah, best.
He had a better arm and he had better speed, better power at the plate.
He did as a Brave.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah. And let's not forget, Furcal was lightning quick. I mean, he was a water bug out there on the base pass. So,
yeah.
Yeah, I think y'all just don't. I think y'all just are pleasantly trying to forget how good Angelton Simmons was.
I think you've forgotten how badass Rafael Furcal was, man.
No, I really haven't. I just remember how defensively great Angelton Simmons was.
Can Angelton hit 300? I don't think he can.
He has.
No, he hasn't. Not for a season. Furcal
has. Are you sure?
Yeah. No, Angelton's never hit 300. Stop. Furcal has.
Are you positive?
Yes, I don't even have to look that up. Andrelton Simmons. Now he has improved. Okay, so
He batted. I'm sorry. He batted 281, 278, okay. 292, 264, 287. So
okay,
he just deal. Barely missed it. Just barely missed it.
He can't hit 300 like Rafael Furcal can. Rafael Furcal can hit 300. He can stab you on the way to second, and he can hit.
If he's so great, why did he not play very long?
Because he had some personal problems. Everybody's got their demons.
You guys are selling.
Do you know Rafael Furcal?
You guys are both selling Jeff Blauzer short. Let's be honest. Jeff Blauzer is better than y'all think.
Do you know Rafael Furcal never batted 300 as a Brave, Josh?
Okay.
You just said that we were going just based off Braves time, so he's not batting 300 as a Brave.
What did he bat? Okay,
closest he got was 295 his rookie year and 292 another year.
Whatever, I'll still take him over Angelton.
I'm just saying. And his OBP wasn't any better than Angelton's. Maybe a few points in a couple years, but yeah. He was not significantly better like you're making him out to be. Just saying. Anyway, is this team the best offensive team in Braves history? I would say the only one close would be
go to 95.
Hank Aaron.
Hang on, go to 95.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think he touches.
We got to pull at 95. I mean, I don't think that they were actually, because really, really the Expos were
95, and another one to look at is 2003.
Would be 03. 03, Javi Lopez, Jesus.
Gary Sheffield was on that team. Stupid. Andrew and Chipper.
Okay,
yeah,
here's the
that's
team.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
Javi Lopez, but first base, Robert Fick.
Yeah,
second base,
I forgot about him.
Marcus Giles.
Hey, man.
Third base, Vinny Castillo.
Hey, don't sleep on Marcus Giles and Vinny Castillo.
Like,
the way you said Marcus Giles really upsets me and JT. Right. It's not what you
I'm
say,
not,
it's the way you say it sometimes, you know?
I'm not mad about it. I'm just saying you can't tell me that those are the best players that have ever
Marcus
played.
Marcus Giles was good. He also
He was good. He's still not close to as good as Ozzie.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I can't argue that.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, like, and he had a good year that year. I think he batted like 316 and had like 16 home runs or something, or maybe it was more than that, 21 home runs or something. But that was over a whole season, you know. I mean, that was by far Marcus Giles' best year too, by the way. He played out of his mind that year. But still, I think that's the closest one. And their bench was nowhere near as strong. And their outfield was Chipper Jones in left, Andrew Jones in center, and Gary Sheffield in right.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing about this year's team. 10 years from now, the only thing we're going to recall, assuming the Braves don't win the World Series, is that the offense was so damn good because the pitching was so bad. And that the only thing that's keeping us together and going to win this division is the fact that, holy cow, Adam Duvall had an amazing September. And the offense was incredible because we were rolling guys like Tommy Malone and Robbie Erlin out there.
So 95 is probably the best offensive team in my opinion. That 2003 team's strong, but it's between 2003 and 95. 95 was Javi Lopez, Fred McGriff, Mark Lemke, Jeff Blauzer, Chipper, Ryan Klesko, Marquise Grissom, and David Justice. I still think this offense is better. I still think this year's offense is just better. I mean, Acuna, Duvall, Ozuna, if you want to call
Freddie,
him an outfielder.
Dansby, Ozzy,
Marquez,
Riley,
even though Marquez has slumped a little bit lately, is still, yeah. You know.
I'd say it's certainly the deepest there,
if they want to be the best, we have to do something of note. And I'm not saying win the World Series, but at least make a dent in the playoffs. Because it's certainly probably the deepest offense that we've seen. Because imagine if we had a healthy rotation. Mike Soroka doesn't tear his Achilles.
Yeah.
Folty and Newcomb have a head on their shoulders. Can you imagine what this team might be doing right now? Like how not close this division would be.
With the Dodgers.
Yeah, like this division would be over by now.
Well, let's take it down to some stats. Josh, we've done the Make It Matter segments in the past. Let's do one now, right? OPS Plus, right? Mm-hmm. It's kind of a cool stat.
It's probably my favorite stat. Yeah.
What is OPS plus?
It's on base plus slugging.
All right. And then not only is it on base plus slugging, but it also then is averaged out across the league to account for baseball park factors. So if you play in a little bitty tiny small ballpark, or if you play in Marlins gigantic stadium,
I don't think
it's supposed to account for all that. Yeah, OPS plus is supposed to account for that.
Okay.
So what is slugging? Because that's a term that a lot of people aren't real familiar with. Do you know what slugging is?
Slugging would be homers and doubles and triples.
It's the amount of total bases divided by the plate appearances. Is that right?
Right. Slugging percentage represents the total number of bases as a player records per at bat.
That would mean that Fred McGriff would have a higher slugging than Jeff Blauser because he had more total bases, I think.
Yeah, sure. So you take the number of at-bats and the number of bases and divide the two together.
Wait. Time out. You know how many times I've been well actuallyed by some, advanced dingus on the internet because total bases is the most important? But they probably think that slugging is stupid?
Yeah.
So you're telling me slugging is total bases?
Yeah, it's total bases divided by plate appearance. So it's more accurate in a way than total bases.
Because
it takes your actual plate appearances and divides that number into the number of bases you have. So, is it two per plate appearance? Is it one?
It basically 1.3, tells how hard you hit a ball. It's trying to tell you how much of a masher you are. Because you can get a high batting average without ever, you can slap a bunch of singles and bat 300.
Empty average. That's what we call it. Empty average, kids.
Yeah. Right. So the way they figure it is this: singles plus doubles plus triples plus home runs divided. So single plus doubles times two. Let me actually clarify. Plus triples times three, because that's three bags. Plus home runs times four.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Divided by the number of at bats. And although a double's not worth exactly twice as much as a single in the true context of scoring runs, like Josh, you've talked about this in your illustrious videos explaining that sometimes things matter and sometimes they don't.
Right.
It's still, for measurement's sake, it's useful. And so, slugging percentage is still one of the best evaluators of power, especially because it accounts for more than just home runs, but also doesn't keep it as simple as just singles. You know what I'm saying? So to add OPS plus back into it, it's slugging plus on-base percentage. Well, on-base percentage is the number of times you get on base. Based on at-bats. That includes walks, hits, all that good stuff. So it's how many times you get on base plus slugging. The reason I bring that up is the Atlanta Braves are pretty dang good at it this year.
Oh.
Okay. To give you some comparisons in OPS plus, Adam Duvall, doesn't hit for a real high average, but it doesn't get on base a super ton. But it's been crushing the ever-living daylights out of the ball.
Mm-hmm.
OPS plus this year, 131. Okay? Just kind of – league average is 100, right? 100 is kind of like the baseline.
Right. I think I kind of knew that or had an idea of it being around there.
Ozuna, Marcell Ozuna, 161.
Good God.
Ronald Acuna, OPS plus of 163. Now, hold on to your britches for this next one. Freddie Freeman, OPS plus 179.
Good grief.
That's three of the top five in the National League.
Wow.
On top of that, Freddie Freeman, I believe, is leading the National League or maybe all the majors in RBI. So,
yeah.
If people still care about RBI.
Driving and run top, that doesn't matter anymore.
Does OPS plus matter, Josh? Does it matter as a stat? I think it does. I mean, I think it's a
kind
of important one.
I know. I think that's DOB's favorite. We were talking stats one time, and he likes OPS plus a lot.
I can see that. It's not perfect. There's some minor flaws in it, but all stats have that. There's an inherent bias to stats that assume every hit matters and that every situation matters, and they don't. It's like you've talked about. In fact, Josh, how about you take a few moments here and enlighten us on how things matter?
So last year, we here at Knockomination, we reminded everyone kind of all season that even though Tyler Flowers had a lot of passed balls, it wasn't the end of the world because a lot of those pass balls didn't really contribute to a loss. I don't remember the exact numbers. Braves options guy did a monologue about it. But basically, he had a bunch of pass balls last year, and they didn't really affect the outcome of the game. And I think a lot, or maybe all, I can't remember, of the pass balls from last year never affected or never led to the loss of an Atlanta Braves game. So our point was, like, pass balls don't really, I mean, they don't, they often don't affect the outcome of the game. And we did it because we like Tyler Flowers, and he's better at the plate than people give him credit for, and he's a good framer. And he wasn't, I forget the numbers, but he didn't have like a lot of pass balls. It was just a thing, and he had never really done it before in his career, and all of a sudden he was letting some balls pass. People were freaking out. And so when people freak out, we like to be here at Knock'em a Nation, kind of the voice of reason. So because folks were freaking out, we had to kind of temper things a little bit and remind everybody that, hey, like pass balls aren't good, but like at the end of the day, they're really not affecting that much as you might think they are, right? Well, this year, it just seems to me there's a new like school of thought amongst the far left advanced metrics nerds of Braves Twitter that passed balls don't matter, and the truth is they do matter. They're not everything. It's kind of like batting average, right? Batting average like isn't everything. We've always known this. A lot of advanced nerds think that before 2012, when baseball fans used mainly batting average, they didn't fully understand the game, and that's just silly because back in the day you would just use qualifiers. You'd say so and so hits for average, or so and so has an empty average, right? Now we have other metrics to kind of instead of qualifying batting average with those things, with that nomenclature, we would just say so and so has a WRC plus of yada yada yada, so and so has an F4 of yada yada yada, or a WOBA. You know what I mean? So anyway, so pass balls don't matter. Really? Like, you're gonna say that and be serious? You're actually going to die on that hill. You're gonna climb up the hill and you're gonna die on the hill while saying passed balls don't matter. I can't take it. I can't. So what happens is this? So if you're watching a Braves game, if you're on Twitter, a lot of times, you know, Travis d'Arnaud, it seems, has let some balls pass. A Braves fan will complain about it because that's a valid thing to complain about. You're a catcher. If you're a fan of a team and your respective catcher, who has a catcher's mitt, whose job is to catch the baseball, allows a ball to pass him, quite often, kind of an easy ball, you know, maybe a ball just a little bit out of the strike zone, and you let that ball pass, the fan of your team is going to get mad. Sports hyphen mad, not real life mad, because a lot of these people that just kind of get mad are just they're just sports fans. It's not real life. It's your sports team, right? It's a valid gripe. If you're a catcher, you should catch the baseball, you know. And so what happens is d'Arnaud will let a ball pass. Bubba on Twitter will complain, and then here come the advanced nerds to remind them that actually pass balls don't really matter because. The effect that pass ball had on the game is yada, yada, yada. Now, that was kind of us last year, but in context, we were doing it because it seemed like everybody's freaking out, and we saw this thing. We recognized that, well, I mean, pass balls aren't good, but they're really not affecting a lot, right? Well, now I just feel like we need to revisit this and just remind folks that two things. We shouldn't teach our kids to let the ball pass. Like, so if your kid is 8 years old playing little league, he's a catcher, are you going to teach him how to let balls pass him? No, you're going to teach him that you stop the catch the ball, frame the ball, right? At the same time, if you let a ball pass, not the end of the world. Not the end of the world. Oftentimes doesn't really have a huge impact on a game until it does, right? So since 2019, the Atlanta Braves lead Major League Baseball in passed balls. And since the start of 2018, they're second in all of baseball in passed balls. This year, Braves are 1-4 in five games that Flowers and d'Arnaud have recorded a passed ball. So they're 1-4. But if you dig deeper, are they 1-4 because of those passed balls? No, not really. Like Flowers, his only pass ball this year, it did lead to a run, but the game was lost when Rhys Hopkins hit a three-run dinger, and Phillies won 4-1, right? Darno's third pass ball this year led to a run because the bases were loaded. But, I mean, the run would have probably scored anyways because the batter ended up doubling in the other two guys, the other two runners later in that batted anyways. So again, Darno's third pass ball led to a run. Bases were loaded, so obviously that led to a run. But later at that at bat, the guy doubles, knocks in two guys, right? Darno's fourth at bat, similar story. So pass ball, Trey Turner advances to second, right? But he would have scored later in the inning because why? Some guy named Chad Sabatka was pitching that day. So, like, pass balls don't matter until they matter. So, you know, if you're on Twitter and you're well-actuallying people about how pass balls don't matter and you want to sound smarter than everybody else, you're being silly. You're being silly because they do matter. You shouldn't let balls pass you, right? That's one of your primary jobs as a catcher is to catch baseball, right? You have a catcher's mitt. You're supposed to catch the baseball. But sometimes it doesn't happen. Sometimes your team leads the entire world in passed balls. But it doesn't really have a huge effect on the game. At the same token, do errors matter, right? If you apply the same logic to errors, well, I mean, if so-and-so makes an error, but that doesn't, like, directly lead to the loss of your favorite baseball team, does the error matter? Of course it matters. You shouldn't make errors, right? If your third baseman is fielding a ground ball, an easy ground ball, and he throws it to first, and the baseball ends up being like 12 feet above the first baseman, does that matter? I mean, it kind of matters. What if that play didn't really affect the game? What if that play was in the fourth inning, there was two outs, and when he made the terrible throw, the guy rounds first, ends up at second, and you're pissed off because this goober on the other team is at second base because your third baseman forgot how to throw the baseball, but then the next at bat, the guy strikes out, inning's over, that terrible throw had really no huge effect on the baseball game. Does that matter? Of course it matters, right? This kind of highlights that sometimes stats maybe don't tell the whole story. You know, they don't. So, you know, that pass ball by Darno that allowed Trey Turner to advance to second, like, it kind of didn't matter. But then, I mean, they would have scored anyways because Sabatka was pitching. And, you know, and then, like, his third pass ball, the bases are loaded, right? And because the bases were loaded, that pass ball mattered because it allowed a run to score. But they would have probably lost anyways because later in that at bat, the guy gets a double. And two guys score. So, you know what I mean? So, pass balls matter until they don't matter, right? Yeah. So, I can't take you seriously if you're always on Twitter explaining how pass balls don't matter. Well, they kind of matter. They kind of matter, dude. You know? Errors matter. Making crappy plays matters. Mechanics matters, right? Don't be so handicapped by the metrics. By the advanced metrics that we love. We love the advanced metrics. We love framing. We love all these things. Like catchers have some super nerdy, newish stats that are, relatively new. They haven't been around for a long time. And they're cool. And we like them. But, like, don't be so obsessed with advanced metrics, or so inundated with advanced metrics that you forget, a guy letting a easy slider pass him, that kind of matters, regardless of DRS, regardless of catcher ERA. Okay, these things matter. Okay, if you're a catcher and you let an easy baseball pass you, that matters. All right, and so do you. All right, have a great day.
Well, thank you for that, Josh. That was interesting. We do appreciate it.
Beautiful.
It was beautiful.
You're welcome.
Sometimes things matter, apparently, and sometimes they don't.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, that's the Braves. I still think this is possibly the best offense I've ever seen. I would say it rivals the Dodgers offense from a couple years ago and maybe even this year. That was just so good. So it's one of the best I've ever seen in the National League, much less the Braves. It's crazy good.
I guess it's hard for me to really accept it yet, you know, and maybe that's because it's COVID and there's no fans. You know, it's kind of a weird season and all that stuff, you know, and it started super late. So I'm not saying they're not, because I told Nikki like this was like 2 weeks ago too. This wasn't like in the last few days. A couple of weeks ago, I was like, this is at least the best offense they've ever had since we've been together.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I met her last summer, you know.
I mean, I would say the only weaknesses in this really are Ender Inciarte. You know, he's very much been a weakness.
Right.
And I'll be cautious how I say this, but like if you're just looking at sheer stats, Markakis has been for the last few weeks. He really fell off a cliff. He started out like crushing a ball.
He had some doubles over the weekend, didn't he?
I think he picked it back up a little bit, but he was like 0 for 30 before that, I think. Anyway, he had a slide. It's all right. He had a slide.
Yeah.
But in the grand scheme of things, I think really that's the only weak spot. I mean, Ozzie's back. Ozzie's crushing home runs since he's been back and healthy. Adam Duvall is playing out of his mind. Oh, my gosh. He's just – I mean, I think his last – I saw a tweet day before yesterday, I believe it was, and it said his last at-bats, his last 20 at-bats or something like that had gone double, home run, walk, home run, double, double, walk, home run, double, double, walk, single, home run, double. Mm. It was like, seriously, I'm not making that up. That was, I might have missed one or two, but that's real close to what the tweet said. It was crazy. He's just been on fire.
All while being type 1. Which
all
is
while being type
pretty
1.
Pretty crazy.
And if I had said, and like, back
crazy.
In
the, I would
the first spring training in September, you'd sit there and say, well, where would the Braves be without Adam Duvall? Like, you think I'm...
Oh, people were throwing shade and crying about Duvall. Yeah, back in the spring, yeah.
You think dude. I was crazy if I said that. But imagine Adam Duvall is not on this team. Like, we're not a first-place team.
Do you know how close it was to Adam Duvall not being on this team? I mean, if Cole Hamels doesn't... If Felix Hernandez doesn't opt out, or if Cole Hamels... If Nick Markakis doesn't opt out at the beginning of the season, right? There's probably not a spot for Duvall, and the Braves probably have to cut him.
Mm. Wow.
Have you thought about that? Like, there wasn't a spot. Like, if Nick Markakis doesn't opt out, Duvall probably doesn't make the team. And that's a wild thing to think about, but true. JT, did you catch some NFL this weekend, buddy?
Oh, man, I did. I sure did. First game I watched a lot of was the Falcons-Seahawks and – buddy, Falcons, man. The jerseys look pretty.
What a train wreck.
The jerseys look good. I think Seattle, let's see where my prediction is at the end of the year, but I think Seattle is one of the top handful of teams in the NFC, maybe the best team in the NFC. The addition of Jamal Adams, they can do things on defense that they couldn't do. They haven't had a guy like Jamal Adams there in a while. I think this is getting back to the Seattle teams of 6-7 years ago. They got some players. Russell Wilson is still somehow just the most underappreciated quarterback in the league. He is so good.
Sunday could have been the best performance of Russell Wilson's career. As crazy as that
he
sounds.
Is, I think
he played out of
his
It
might
mind.
Be some West Coast bias that sometimes maybe we don't hang on late and see those late games, but I don't know, man. Russell Wilson's fantastic. DK Metcalf is becoming a player for them, so he's got some weapons.
I will say this. Their run game's a little concerning. Chris Carson scored a bunch of fantasy points, but he only ran for like 30-something yards. He just happened to get two touchdowns, and so it ran his points way up high. Yeah. But it's a little concerning when they had the kind of lead that they had that they didn't run the ball more. I would say that's the only curious question there. And I say run the ball more. They did run it, but they gave the ball a lot. And maybe it's maybe they're blessed with riches, and that's why I feel this way. But there was a whole lot of not Chris Carson. You know what I mean? Like there was a whole lot of other people. So that'll be interesting to see if they can continue to run the ball this year or not. You know, when they play real defense, because Atlanta apparently doesn't have.
Yeah, they didn't run the ball a ton, but I don't know if they needed to. I think they got a certain point where once they realize the secondary for Atlanta is a big weak spot, and you know, we'll see. The Falcons got some room to grow for sure, and I don't know if Dan Quinn is going to have the leash to be able to do it.
I don't think so. I like Dan Quinn a lot, but I have been severely disappointed the last 2 years. I felt like he backed up on defense, which was where I didn't think he would back up.
My dad was talking today about, you know, he was just about how bad the Falcons were and how terrible. I said, but Dan, but, you know, if they're terrible and they end up with the top three pick, you're telling me Justin Fields wouldn't look really good in Atlanta Falcons jersey? I think he would look mighty fine, and he can learn a little bit. But you draft the heir apparent to Matt Ryan. I'm like, that's something that would be pretty exciting if you're a Falcons fan.
Let me just make it clear, though. The reason they lost was not Matt Ryan on Sunday. He threw for 450 yards or something like that and fed every wide receiver that they possibly had. Ty Gurley looked pretty good. You know, I mean, he's Ty Gurley. He's not what he once was, but I don't think this team's problems offensively.
No, I only say that because Matt Ryan's not a spring chicken anymore. He's, you know, elder statesman of the league. And so you got to start looking to the future at some point, because you only got so many years of Matt Ryan left. If you're a Falcons fan, that's what you're screaming. Make this count. Matt Ryan's a future Hall of Famer. Make these years that you got him left count. Make them worth something.
Don't make him the next.
He's too good to play meaningless football. Let's see. I watched the Rams Cowboys last night. The Rams Stadium, holy cow. I don't know if y'all saw the game last night, but this new complex out $5 billion for the Chargers and Rams to share the stadium, insane. And it looks amazing. It looks really
good. It's beautiful, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I will say this. I don't really like the ceiling. Everything else about it was really cool, but I don't really get the like framed ceiling thing. That's kind of
I like the Rams. I like the Rams jerseys. They're different than anything else. It's a throwback
to
the old jerseys.
Oh, yeah. I hated them. It looked like the Chargers.
I hated the logo at first, but I kind of liked it just because it's different. That's a little different.
I don't like the horns on the helmet. I thought they looked like lightning bolts. I thought it looked like you were trying to be the Chargers way too much. But that's my take on it. Speaking of the actual play on the field, the Rams look as bland as ever with Jacob Goff, and yet they still look formidable. You know what I'm saying?
Jacob Goff is so boring.
He's boring and terrible.
His name is Jared.
Yeah.
Not Jacob. First off. They were able to do things offensively. They looked a lot more flexible in offense, kind of like where they were when they, you know, jumped out 2 years ago.
Jared Garf. Yep.
And they got some players. Although, really, the only story that matters in the league is the play of Gardner Minshew and the Jacksonville Jaguars.
I mean, don't you mean Gardner Minshew?
Woo, baby.
Oh, my
baby.
Gosh.
One incompletion.
He does
three touchdowns and one incompletion. Are you telling
19 for 20 with one incompletion.
You're telling me
that's
we're
insane.
Supposed to be tanking for Trevor Lawrence? No, Gardner Minshew did not get the message. I don't know how good the Jaguars are. I don't think they're going to be as good as you saw. I don't see a playoff team. But I'm telling you, that kid, as long as he's in the game, you got a chance. He is a winner.
For a team that was not supposed to have any defense, they look better than advertised. Let's put it there.
Or any running game.
I realize it's old P. River on the other side, but they still looked pretty good. You know, I'm just saying.
Yeah, yeah. And a bunch of no-names. I mean, I'll tell you, there's a bunch of no-names. James Robinson, Andrew Wingard, who had a huge interception. I mean, there's a bunch of guys you wouldn't know if they were sitting next to you.
Yeah.
But
on the other side of the ball, I still think Indianapolis is a scary good team.
Oh, yeah.
Rip Marlon Mack. He tore his knee. Marlon Mack gone. Nyheim Hines going to be stepping in there. But if you are a Jonathan Taylor fan or fantasy owner, you are a happy man.
I got both.
It's going to be
I got Taylor and Hines. Nice. So, yeah. I'm okay with that. But yeah, I think so. I think they've got Frank Reich's a good coach. And this, let's be honest, too, it's a winnable division. I don't think Jacksonville is going to be a player in the division. Don't know what the Texans are going to be at all with the lack of offense they have, losing, you know, the dumb trade in the offseason, moving DeAndre Hopkins. So you got Tennessee, who I think is going to be really tough. They got like this old school kind of feel to them, the way they run Derrick Henry, and they're just like a downhill smash mouth kind of team. So I think the Colts and the Titans are going to be there right to the end to win the division. I mean, one of those four teams has to go to the playoffs. So I wouldn't. If you're a Colts fan, I wouldn't worry about it too much. You're still going to be in it.
Yeah, Phillip Rivers and T.Y. Hilton got some stuff to figure out because they played like. They looked like they were on two different continents, much less not on the same page. So that one kind of stunk for them. How did we feel about Tampa Bay and old Tom looking like a little bit of an old man?
Dude,
and
I watched
throwing
it.
Two interceptions.
I tuned in. I'm eating some fried chicken gizzards and watching that junk. That was actually a good game. Okay, Tom looked bad first half, and people wrote him off the first quarter. And then he made some good plays. I don't know. Drew Brees looked great, in my opinion. Even though, isn't he canceled because he likes the flag or something like that? He likes the flag. And
oh, no, he repented for that. You didn't.
Oh, yeah, he repented.
Yeah, he asked for forgiveness.
Even though he's given millions to Hurricane Katrina victims and inner city black youth in New Orleans. But anyways, that was actually kind of a good game. And Tampa Bay like could have kind of come back and sort of caught up towards the end there. I mean, it's a good game. Tom Brady made a couple of bad moves, but like honestly, like he looked like Tom Brady. I'll be real, he did.
Yeah, and
I didn't think he looked that good. I'm just saying.
Well, I know you can't always compare apples to oranges, but how many years did you look at the Patriots and at the end of the first month they're 2-2, and you thought this is the end?
Exactly.
This is it. The Patriots are over.
That's true.
Every year.
And then fast forward, they've won like 8 straight, and oh my God, they're 13-3. You know, like that's just how they do. It happens all the time.
I'm not the guy sitting here writing off this team. This team's still going to be a good football team.
He looked good. He looked better than they said he looked.
Well, he threw two interceptions.
I saw it. And one of them,
okay.
the receiver like just had a brain fart. The second one was his fault.
A little miscommunication.
The problem is, you're not playing a good defense, though. I saw somebody try to sell this as that New Orleans had one of the best defenses. I'm like, not really.
I know.
Not really. That's not a good. That's not
what
a good
you're
thing.
Seeing is the lack that's of four said. Lack of four preseason games too. I mean, this is it.
Like
you're jumping right into the fire. So it's a change for a guy like Tom Brady who's in a whole new world. You know, there's a lot you got to figure out, and that's helpful to have. You know, four preseason games usually. You know,
also, no running back and Mike Evans being nicked is probably not the best way to start your season. I mean, they have a running back, don't get me wrong, but do they? I mean, sort of.
Yeah, Leonard Fournette's in there somewhere. One quarterback stood out to me yesterday, showed some balls. Mitchell Trubisky, who's given up for dead, and what a comeback, man.
I thought he'd be benched at halftime. I really did. But you got to – that game is not – I mean, Mitchell Trubisky
played good. A 144 QB rating in the fourth quarter. He looked amazing.
In the fourth quarter.
And
he
looked amazing.
In the first quarter, though, and
you
the
know
second
what?
Quarter.
It doesn't matter. Did they win?
Yeah.
They did.
Yeah, you know
amazing.
Why they won? Because of DeAndre Swift. I mean, Swift.
Poor guy.
The ball hit him in the hands. They had the game won, an easy touchdown, and he drops the ball. Oh my gosh, you can't do that as a rookie. That's
they won
such
because
rough.
Of Mitchell.
No, they really didn't.
But yes, they did. Do you not even watch football?
I do. I did. I watched most of that game.
Well, you didn't.
God. I will say this. I think Trubisky loses that job by week four. I'm just saying.
Nick Foles.
Here's some stats. He completed 20 of 36 passes for 242 yards, 3 touchdowns, fourth quarter alone.
That means he was barely over 50%, Josh.
Shut up, whatever. In 6 career games versus the Lions, Trubisky has posted a 106 passer rating. I'm just reading this from the Bears PR.
I started him on my fantasy team because I knew he was going to have a good game against Detroit. But That being said, Trubisky is probably going to lose that job in the next 4, maybe 5 weeks.
I'll be laughing when he doesn't.
I will say this. If anything, Chicago has a relatively easy start to the season. It's a little open. So there's some room there. But I still think Trubisky's terrible as a quarterback. What about the Washington football team coming back, JT?
That was surprising. That was a game where I thought it was over. I saw the score, like 17-0.
It was like, I think Carson Wentz and like Mitchell Trubisky flew to each other at halftime and swapped jerseys and came back outside because first half Carson Wentz looked unstoppable. Second half Carson Wentz looked like he didn't look – well, he looked like Mitch Trubisky. And, I mean, Dwayne Haskins actually looked like a presentable quarterback in the second half. Ron Rivera, I will say this, he's one heck of a coach. Not only is he getting cancer treatments and gets an IV at halftime so he can continue to coach, but – I mean, he had that defensive line on point. They were all over Philly in that second half.
I had no idea Ron Rivera had cancer till yesterday. Like, where have I been at?
Yeah, I
didn't even know.
Ron Rivera was a member of the 85 Bears defense. It tells you all you need to know about the type of man Ron Rivera is. He's a man. Yeah, he's a man's man. Washington's fans. I mean, good Lord. If anybody deserves a decent football product on the field, I mean, they're one of the most historic franchises in the NFL.
Yeah.
They've been complete garbage for the last 20 years. Give or take a season stripped from them.
I mean, by a bunch of, you know, Caucasian lunatics.
But like kids today don't even realize that the Washington Redskins used to be like a perennial Super Bowl team. Like, you know, the Joe Gibbs Redskins. I mean, these were this is a team with a lot of history. A lot of Hall of Famers have come through there. Kids today don't know
Doug
that.
And Robbie, my father-in-law and his brother that's been on the show with us before, Doug and Robbie. Doug texted Robbie yesterday and said, does anybody know the word still to the Hail to the Washington football team? Because I don't think anyone sang it in so long until they really don't know it. So, yeah. Let's see. Spinning around the league real quick. Cleveland sucks. Baker Mayfield, he's a bust at this point, right, JT? I mean, it's sad.
He's on the cusp of getting that way. But
I think he's got it, right?
To his credit, he's had a lot of bad coaching around him, too.
But he's got tons of weapons around him. How are you that bad with those kinds of weapons? I don't get it.
I don't know if
– I hope you're going to mention the best quarterback in the league. Because you haven't mentioned him yet.
Okay, we'll get there in a few minutes. Go ahead, JT. What were you going
to
say?
Sorry, JT.
Baker's a heck of a competitor, and he's going to try hard. Yeah. I just don't know if he's got the upper-tier athleticism to be the best in the NFL. Like, he can gut it out in college.
He's got the decision-making.
That's another thing, too.
Mixed with it. Yeah. I just don't know how high the elevator goes. And I really don't mean it like he's dumb. I'm just saying, like, I just don't know if he's got that finesse, that polish, you know. Andy Reid looked like a beekeeper. Clyde Edwards-Helaire looked like, I mean, he looked great. So
just plug him in. Kansas City, just plug him in and go. Man, that offense is just – It's not overwhelming. Like, it's not the greatest thing you've ever seen in your life, but it's just a well-oiled machine that Pat Mahomes is running out there. It's something to see. Who are you talking about? Who, Lamar Jackson?
Yes.
Yeah, we just mentioned they beat the stew out of the Browns.
Oh, I must have checked out. Sorry.
That's what we were just talking about, the opposite side of Baker Mayfield.
I would say top team in the AFC for sure, Baltimore, definitely.
Is Lamar Jackson the best? Like quarterback right now, like
right. He's like, up there like, right like now.
I'm a dingus. But when I'm watching, so I don't watch. So I watch football all weekend, okay. But I only watch. JT I think is really good about watching like kind of all the games or like flipping back and forth. I'm not. I'll pick like one, like the Tampa Bay game. So I watch a few all weekend, right? And then I love Sunday mornings watching SportsCenter like. Almost all morning and just nerding out on all the recaps and stuff like that. Or maybe Sunday night. Maybe I'm talking about Sunday night. But all I know is like the stuff I saw from Lamar Jackson, holy crap.
Yeah. I mean, he's a defending MVP.
He is legit, dude. He's legit. He's so good. Because I used to think he was overhyped.
I think he's a terrible quarterback.
Really?
I think he's amazing in the system and the way they're using him. I don't think he's a very good true quarterback, and I think eventually he's going to get hurt and it's going to catch up. I don't know when that'll be. It may be two more years, but I just don't think it's a long term. He's the answer for more than 4 or 5 years at a location. Maybe I'm wrong.
I think people remember other guys that could do it for a little bit, but once the bumps and bruises take hold, what can you do? Robert Griffin, great example.
Robert Griffin. Yep, 100%.
What can Lamar do when he gets a little older, when the mobility isn't there like it used to? Can he take the next step
Donovan McNabb? Can he turn into Donovan McNabb?
Is a great example. The second thing is, can you win in the playoffs? The only thing that matters with a quarterback to argue who's the best, win the playoffs. That's it. That's how a quarterback makes their name. You got to win meaningful games. And that's why you can sit there and say that other guy, Dan Marino had a great arm and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, that's why Tom Brady's still the best, though. You know, no one's ever said Tom Brady's arm is the best. No. But, the rings don't lie. That's what makes you.
That's the reason Brett Favre gets close. You know what I'm saying? Like, Brett Favre, he had both. He had the big arm, and he's got the rings, Let's pick up. We'll talk some more football on tomorrow's episode. This has been a lot of fun. Fellas, that's going to do it for today. Thanks for hanging out. Knock on the Nation, thanks for sticking around. We're going to have fun tomorrow. We'll catch you next time.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the nation's leading replacement-level podcast. Knockahoma Nation is brought to you by Knockahoma Nation patrons. To become a patron, visit patreon.com/Knockahoma Nation. For new episodes and content, visit knockahomanation.com. Find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at NakahomaNTN. Special thanks to research assistant Braves Options Guy and spiritual advisor John D. Howard. See you next week, knuckleheads.